Driving through New York State, you can see many a bumper sticker that reads, "Montauk, the end." Of course, it's a playful phrase rooted first and foremost in geography. Montauk is at the easternmost tip of Long Island, in other words, at the very end of the island. But it might just as easily serve as a tongue-in-cheek way that playwright Neil Simon would have described his comedy Rose's Dilemma, his last play from the end of his writing career, set in the Hamptons. His main character, Rose, is at the end of her writing career and at the end of her life way out east there in the Hamptons. Montauk, the end. In a review of the play when it opened in 2003, Ben Brantley of the New York Times wrote, "Like many of Mr. Simon's plays in the more than two decades since Chapter 2, Rose's Dilemma is about overcoming the past to live in the present. Sometimes you have to give up what you love," as Rose puts it in needlework sampler style. Brantley continues, "It's kind of reassuring in any case that in his mid-70s, Mr. Simon is still producing a brand of comedy that takes the sting out of mortal fears. Even confronting the afterlife, his characters keep cracking wise, prepared to meet eternity by way of a passage to the light that, as Walsh tells Rose, looks a lot like the Lincoln Tunnel." As it happens, Neil Simon passed away at the end of August this year at the age of 91, while Clock Tower Theater Company was rehearsing its production of Rose's Dilemma that will be presented this Saturday at the Theater at North in Scranton, featuring the much-loved theater veteran Agnes Cummings as Rose. Agnes and Brad Morgan, founder of Clock Tower and director of the show, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the production and Neil Simon in light of his passing. Agnes Cummings and Neil Simon seem meant for each other.
I've done a lot of Neil Simon. I adore him. He's really, literally my favorite playwright. I've done a lot. It would be too many to even say. Gingerbread Lady, I did that with Brad, as a matter of fact.
That was actually our first play together that we
were in together, right, because I had directed Brad. But all the Neil Simon you could possibly imagine I've done.
It must be quite something when you're in the middle of preparing to present something like this, and then he leaves us.
When we found out at rehearsal, it was sad, you know what I'm saying? But then I have to say that in the rehearsal process and stuff, things ring different in his words, and I feel so honored to be able to say them, and I love him. I love him.
Brad, what about you and Neil Simon?
Well, the first play I was in, a Neil Simon play, was with Agnes, Gingerbread Lady. That was with the Pennsylvania Summer Theater Festival up in the Mountain and Montage at that time. And I did Plaza Suite there as well, and Rumors.
You did Rumors, yes, yes.
And I also did Biloxi Blues at the Cider Mill Playhouse in Endicott, New York. So I think they're the only Neil Simon plays I've been in that I can recall.
What was the impulse to do Rose's Dilemma? How did that come to the fore?
Well, Clock Tower Theater Company was putting our season together, and I was looking for a comedy. So, of course, I'm going to go to Neil Simon. And honestly, I just started looking over some of his different plays and the descriptions, and the description of this play just struck out to me, and I knew it was a later work. I didn't realize at the time that it was his last play that he wrote in 2003. And I just looked at the characters, and keeping in mind people that I knew I wanted to get involved, Agnes being one of them, and I thought she would have been the perfect actor to play the lead, and so I put it in the season, and here we are.
It's not as well known as Barefoot in the Park and the others that you've mentioned. What is the premise?
Well, the play centers around author Rose Steiner, and she is suffering from writer's block. She hasn't really written anything in a number of years, and she's running out of money, basically. And she needs to come up with a blockbuster hit to replenish the coffers and keep paying the bills. And she fantasizes about her dead husband, lover, who also was a writer. And before he passed away, he had been writing a book but never finished it. And she decides to take his book and finish it, not by herself, because she doesn't really write in his style. So she hires a ghostwriter, a young man who's not very well known as her husband would have been, and really only wrote one book and was kind of a failure after that. But she found his book in a bookstore and liked the title. It was very similar to how her husband wrote and the style that he wrote in. So he kind of hires her to write the book and finish it. The play is about being later in life. It's almost prophetic, looking at Simon, looking at his own mortality and his life. And it's quite ironic that he just, you know, as we're in rehearsals here, we got texts and messages and emails saying, you know, Neil Simon passed away today. So bittersweet, I guess.
Yeah, and that is interesting what you just said, too, because the writer lines, of which there are an abundance in the script because there's writers everywhere, they take on a whole new meaning, don't they? Or just they're so much deeper or interesting. And still, it is funny. He can't help himself. He's brilliant, you know, and he develops brilliant characters who could be, you know, here she is, broke almost, you know, and living in the Hamptons, and she doesn't want to give that up. So that's kind of a tough situation to be in. But, you know, he can find the humor and the humanity and everything. I just adore him. And funny.
But also at the same time, he'll rip your heart out. I mean, right. There's a character here. Rose's assistant, who she has left behind, and she gives some speeches that talking about saying goodbye to her mom after she does pass away. Rose Steiner does pass away by the end of the play too, and just really sad. You could be in one extreme and laughing hilariously in a Neil Simon play, and then the next moment it's just so touching, you know, the things that he mentions. Just a very good perspective on humanity and perception about life.
Agnes, how are you creating Rose?
Well, I don't think I have to know anybody like her. His scripts are so good. If you have a good script, it's easy to find the character. Do you know what I mean? I hope I bring some of me into it in her being or whatever, but it's just so well written. It's hard. You don't have to know anybody. He spells it right out.
Is there anything about being by the sea? It just happens to be places that he loves, but we think about Brighton Beach and those places. Is it just practical?
Well, I think he writes about his own experience, so a lot of the jokes are also specific to the play being in New York and the New York audience.
Yeah.
There's some of those jokes that we're scratching our head. What does that mean? And we have to kind of realize that putting it in context in New York City, that's what makes it fun. And even the time period, you know, 2003, there's something about a joke about, he keeps bringing up the young writer drinks Heineken, which, you know, back then was the pompous beer to drink, especially out in the Hamptons, I guess. And yeah, a lot of his plays have to do with being out on the island and, as you mentioned, Brighton Beach and so forth. So, he probably spent a lot of time there writing from his own experience.
And what about the idea of comedy and that sense of the rhythm of a piece? This must be another one of those, by the time he's at the last of his plays, he's got it so that the rhythm is probably just like a piece of music.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and he is such a great technician. You know, he even knew how many jokes or how to set something up. Not only the content and the emotion is brilliant, he knew how to do it. That's a very smart writer.
And if you look at his life and all the awards that he's won, multiple Tony Awards, Emmy Awards for over 30 plays and around as many screenplays. So
he's the only living playwright who had 4 plays on Broadway at one time. And they named a theater after him when he was still alive, which is, I think that's another first or something.
And the thing that we also get from what you've been saying here is that it's not just a farce in the sense that it's bam, bam, doors are slamming and that, but you get character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You get character. You get in-depth character. Yeah. The other plays that I've been in, like Biloxi Blues, I mean, at the end there, I remember I played Wachowski in that play. And at the end, they're sitting on the train and Eugene is telling what happened to all of them. And it's, it will bring tears to your eyes. Just the way he describes so simply what happened to them. And in a poetic sense, what happened to each of the characters from their experience when they're as a young boy till you know, eventually what happened to them throughout their lives. And it's, as I said, he takes you from both extremes, just laughing hilariously to being very sentimental and touching. And I think any person who has had someone in their life pass away, husband, wife, relative, can relate to this play, as well as any person that, there's also an aspect in the play about mother-daughter relationship. And, you know, Rose in this play has given away a young, a child she had when, that was very young, at birth almost. And they reconnected back in life. So anybody who realizes or experienced wanting love of a parent can connect to this play. And there's very touching monologues that are going to bring tears to an audience eyes, as well as Agnes, who's just a comic genius. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, her style and her rhythm is just matches Neil Simon. I think
I think that's why you love him so much.
Is that her acting style just meshes.
Well, that's sweet of you to say. God bless.
Tell us a little bit more about the setting. Are we at your writing desk, or are we in this lovely home in the Hamptons? Where are we?
Beach House in Montauk.
Yeah.
Pretty much in their living dining area, I would say.
Yeah.
One room set.
Lovely set, lovely theater. This is a beautiful theater. I am having a wonderful time. And working with Brad, this is a whole other, you know, level. I've directed him when he was a child.
That's where we first met, right? You directed me in How to Succeed in Business,
That was it. And like he was wonderful in it. About then, I directed him in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Brilliant. Then we were in...
We were in Pippin. Yeah, we go way back.
Who's with you for this production?
Well, with Clock Tower again being in two cities performing, I draw actors really from both places. So there's four actors in the cast, and two are from New York and two are from Scranton. We have Agnes, which I'm assuming the theater audiences around here would know mostly. And Liz Narrow also is a local actress, been in a number of things. The Fringe Festival, she wrote a play. And I don't know if that's last year or the year before. And then the two other actors are from Endicott, Bill Gorman and Joe Andrews. I think last time I was here when we were talking about Cat Not and Roof, the whole business plan here of the Clock Tower Theater Company is that we're formed here in Scranton, but we perform in two different theaters. So we're rehearsing the play and performing up in Endicott, New York at the Cider Mill Stage. And she was mentioning that theater. And then we bring it down here to Scranton. And we perform at the theater at North.
Right, which I'm excited
to. We'll be at Scranton here September 22nd, just one performance at 7:30 p.m. at the theater at North, which is right on Main Street in North Scranton, right at the top of Greenwood Street, 1539 North Main. And if you want tickets, you can go online to clocktowertheater.thundertix.com or go to the theateratnorth.com website, and there's a link there to buy tickets.
They've renovated that. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it's a beautiful theater, a big theater. The one in New York is maybe a 230-seat theater. The Scranton Theater here is 600, really can be, with the balcony, 800. So that's the reason we only do one performance here. We tried doing several performances, but then you split the audiences up, and, you know, to have 50, 60 people in a 600-seat theater, especially with a comedy, so we decided to do one and kind of have everybody together, and hopefully we'll get a good crowd with Agnes. How long has it been since you've been on stage in Scranton?
In Scranton, it's been a while. Last time I did anything was Vermont, and that was 2011. Yeah. So Scranton's been a while. So I want to be back in Scranton. I love Scranton.
Veteran actor Agnes Cummings and director Brad Morgan, founder of the Clock Tower Theater Company, speaking with us about Rose's Dilemma by Neil Simon that will be presented September 22nd, this Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Theater at North. Parents are alerted that some of the material may be inappropriate for children under 13. It's Rose's Dilemma by Neil Simon, presented by the Clock Tower Theater Company at the Theater at North, 1539 North Main Avenue in Scranton. For more information online, thetheateratnorth.com, thetheateratnorth.com. Rose's Dilemma by Neil Simon with Agnes Cummings, directed by Brad Morgan. It's a Clock Tower Theater Company production, And it's the Theater at North, 1539 North Main Avenue in Scranton. Online, thetheateratnorth.com.